Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
We cannot.
But we can't take the trash out. On our show today, we have not only a blast from the past for me, but a musical memory for lots of people. He's a musical man in the band Janis Stark, and you may also recognize him from The Prodigy as the blue-haired wizard on guitar. Giz, thank you for joining us on our tiny little podcast. We are so excited to talk to you.
Elated.
Thank you for joining us. Do you want to tell the folks a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I'm a guitar player, and I've been playing since I was very young. When I was a wee lad, I got into music just like, you know, the Beatles, of course. And I lived in that area of the country. And then punk rock exploded and it just came at the right time. So, you know, I was like 10, 11 and needed something, and punk rock was there. And luckily enough, we lived in an area called Manchester, which is one of the kind of sister cities to London where punk rock is concerned. You know, the Sex Pistols played there very early on, and so that was, you know, in my radar. And at the same time, I was picking up the guitar because I was terrible at everything else. I could write a good story, but that was about it. And you know, I kind of got drawn into forming a band. I mean, I always kind of, this whole Beatles thing made me kind of form pretend bands in my head, and then eventually I found that I was doing a real one. You know, the family moved to a place called Peterborough, which is a stone's throw away from Cambridge. It's in between Cambridge and Nottingham. So yeah, that's when I got really into the bands, and you know, I got asked to join the Destructors. So I was in them when I was 14. And then the English Dogs a couple of years later. We toured America for the first time, and we had an album that was a little bit of a smash, you know, called Forward Into Battle. That did quite well. Then the 90s came along, and
yes, they did.
A fantastic era where I ended up joining The Prodigy, which of course exploded.
Huge.
You know, and would be one of the 90s important bands.
I want to interrupt you because this is a perfect segue into our meet cute, because you don't remember at the moment, but I remember. So I'm going to tell you how I know you.
Go.
So our meeting was a weird string of events that took place in 1997. I'm going to set the tone for you.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about your own life.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
In Tokyo, Japan.
Tokyo, Japan.
1997, the Mount Fuji Music Festival was canceled. Do you remember
that? Yeah.
Yeah. And we were so bummed out. Me and a bunch of friends of mine that were working there at the time had planned on going to the show that day. We were super pissed because we didn't go to the first day. We were going to go to the second day.
Yeah, the Prodigy Day.
Yep, that's where we were going.
Yeah.
All of the bands came into Tokyo because there's nothing else to do.
We went to the Lexington Queen.
You sure did. And you ran into me and my friend Holly and Elena. And then we hung out for the rest of the weekend. And drank, and we played soccer in the park at some point. It was the weirdest shit ever, but it was the most fun.
Well, certainly I do remember like a load of people in the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy cramped packed. You guys were so nice. Like there were loads of bands in that place. Mm. And some of them were assholes.
Yeah, but tell me who. We were there twice. The first time, which is the time that you're talking about, was definitely my favorite time there.
Oh, you're just saying that because
it really was. It really, really was.
It was so fun.
It was great.
Are so fun. Okay, well, we're gonna have to go over old photos, and I think that you'll remember lots of stuff. I have a lot of photos I don't remember from that weekend. It's pretty crazy.
I love the picture that she tagged you in because she was a young model. She was in like these Japanese like wedding catalogs, looking just Sweeney Todd as fuck. She was crazy. Tim Burtoned out for the 90s. Like Japanese fashion was so cool. And so she's looking all made up like a model while I'm just being like a chubby eighth grader back home in America playing with a Tamagotchi. And she's out partying, but she's wearing a Bewitched graphic ringer tee. And her smile is so manic. She's so drunk and
so
joyful.
So excited and filled with joy and filled with champagne and Midori sours.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You can see every tendon in her neck as she's smiling smile I've ever seen on her entire face.
It was the best. It was literally one of the best nights of my life.
It was a real good laugh. Cool, yeah, it was good fun.
So fun.
What a weird whirlwind connection.
So was the Foo Fighters and Green Day there as well?
Yeah.
They were. Oh, I wasn't going to say it, but they were. It's because we were hanging out with Dave Grohl that whole night too.
Well, yeah.
And Green Day were assholes. Dickheads to me.
Yeah. Well, all of them.
Yes. Well, no, that's not true. Billy Joe Armstrong was a piece of crap that night. Yeah.
No, really? Oh,
he
God.
Was so rude. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that like the height of their heyday?
Yes.
Where there were basket cases and he was like feeling
himself. Was listening to Dookie on repeat. He was in his moment. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
But no, the Foo Fighters were freaking awesome.
Well, I was at a table with Dave Grohl and Billy.
Yep, we were at that table with you.
Good God. What a night.
Oh, God.
It
was a really good night.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing.
I was literally sitting with you and Leroy and Dave almost the entire night, and everybody else was dancing and stuff, and I was like, I just want to hear everybody's stories. I don't even fucking care about dancing. But then also we tried to get you guys to dance to Prodigy songs, and it wasn't happening. No, and Dave goes, bands don't dance to their own music. I was like, all right, good call. I tried so hard.
I feel like everyone puts bands in that position where like somebody puts on a song and looks at you.
And you're like, isn't this you? Come on, monkey dance for me.
My weirdest occurrence with that ever was my friend was tour manager for Evanescence.
Oh, Jesus.
And we hung out with them at a pizza place. It was Amy Lee's assistant's birthday. And we went to a karaoke pizza place. And her husband sung an Evanescence song to her.
Creepy.
She was like, I fucking hate you. But like, that's the relationship. Thank you for noting that this is a popular track, but also I've played it so many times, I never want to hear it.
I've tried to karaoke my friends' songs in front of them it was the most embarrassing thing I've probably ever done. So that was fun. And then I just go right back to Pat Benatar because I can't fuck that up.
Do you do karaoke?
Maybe your best shot.
Yes, that's me. I love that.
Nice. It's got a new wave, isn't it? It's got a nice new wave beat.
80s and 90s.
Well, I'm currently just really, 90s. Faith No More. Yeah.
Yes.
Anytime in my house, somebody's like, oh, what is this? I'm like, what is it?
What is it? Yes, it.
That's my jam. I miss the days where music was just like
music,
experimental and raw and weird, and music videos were like lit on fire.
That's it. The 90s were a good time. Yeah, well, that was, as I said, that was my favorite time in Japan.
And you're currently in another band.
You created Janet Stark, correct?
Janet Stark, yeah.
Yes. So now we can, now that my segment is over, let's talk more about your life again. Yeah. So how did you form this?
You know, I had Janet Stark then, you know. Yeah, I was actually, I had it.
At the same time.
At the same time.
At the same time. So Janet Stark is a 90s band.
Mm-hmm.
We have that credit to our name.
The 90s was a perfect time. You want a 90s band.
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, so I reformed it because it's the memory of it lingered and it wouldn't go away. And I just kept on trying other things. And I thought, you know what? I want Janet Stark back.
Mm-hmm.
Janet Stark signed to this UK label called Earache. And we were then licensed to an American label called Trauma. And that was the home of Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do remember that. I love that.
So, my mouth just watered. I don't know if they're related. But.
So then we had a little minor hit. We had a song called Every Little Thing Counts that did okay. But then sadly, the band kind of dissolved. And, you know, I ended up doing a load of other things instead. As I said, you know, I came back to it and we've been signed by the label that works for the UK subs. So, you know, nice punk rock, very credible home. And since then, we've done a new album. So it's our second album. So the first one was in 98. Second one was in 2018.
I love that. That's awesome. How does it feel coming back to something that was so close to you and so relevant to your life in the 90s and like regrowing that?
Yeah, it feels, well, awesome because I just felt like I was really kind of, you know, arriving at such a late time in my life, really. Well, later. And it just felt, I mean, we've just done another one. So
I love it.
We'll be having another album coming out in July.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. That's exciting.
Well, that's what I should be talking about, really. I mean, we've done an album called Angel in the Flames. So that was our 2 year ago album, which got interfered with, of course, by COVID.
Oh, of course.
All the plans set up, you know, tours. We did a very good tour with a band called the Wild Hearts.
Mm.
And that was like every night, 1,000 people, you know, about, say, you know, 15 shows. Very good. That lined everything up really well. The album then was released, and then we had our own tour, which started in mid-January. But then, as you know, something like mid-March, you know, the world closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And so did our tour. So we just had to kind of like, you know, people were saying to me, why don't you re-release it? And I was saying to them, you know, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
You can re-release it. It's not going to do anything. You just start. You have to just write another one.
Yeah, unless you're Taylor Swift, you just re-record yourself and do it again.
Yeah, I felt more like it was time to write another one. So that's what I've done.
And that comes out this July. And
yes.
Then do you guys have a tentative, hopeful vibe for a tour?
We're working on the tour. So, you know, we are in discussions setting that up. But, of course, if anyone wants to come across to me and say, you know, I can do this. At the moment, I'm kind of like looking at sorting out some kind of tour package, you know, where you get kind of four bands and you all go out together.
Mm-hmm.
I look around at some of the bands that we'd be really suited with and, you know, that are similar to us in some respects and thinking it'd be great to go out with four bands rather than just putting yourself out and, you know, you've got a different support band in every town.
Mm-hmm.
I just prefer that idea. So that, you know, working on that, but we're playing at a very famous punk festival, which is called Rebellion.
Ew.
And that's in August. Nice. And that's a, you know, that's very well known. So that's kind of like a gig that I wouldn't say we're launching the album there. We've got a launch gig at the 100 Club, which is, you know, the famous punk rock club in London where the Pistols were.
I've always wanted to go there.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, and that's on Oxford Street, which is a very busy street of London.
Shannon, we should go.
Okay.
West One. And that's on, what, 22nd? I should know, shouldn't I? Why not just 22nd? 22nd of July.
Well, and we will post for all of our listeners and things to find and follow you all over the place and look up your new music and your new shows and things too. So we will definitely plug all of your stuff in our show notes and on Instagram and help support you any way we can.
Right.
We love you.
If people want to hear something now, you know, you can. There's a bunch of things up there. We play them all in the set. So go and have a listen to what there is out there at the moment.
Yeah.
You are a fun person to gently stalk right now because you do have music, past, present, and future, kind of all over the place, and it's nice to listen to what you're doing.
So. What a strange time to kind of have to shut down. Yeah. So the world shuts down. I feel like every musician that I'm friends with mm-hmm. got that like itch mm-hmm. to write new music and create with the mentality of like, okay, well, when this is over,
right,
I'll have new, and then we'll hit the ground running. But then it just keeps going and keeps going.
Yeah.
And the whole point of punk rock is to be amongst the people, you know, is to vibe on the rowdiness and the commotion of everyone's energy. And when that's like balled up and you create something, but then it's just waiting to erupt. I'm so excited.
Your August show is going to be out of control.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, people are what people need. And I mean, it's just, you can do a certain amount on your own, but you know, after a while, I mean, I was doing streaming gigs and things like that.
Yeah, but the human connection is important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to bet.
Certain genres of music can get away with it and just strum around in their apartment all day long. But like, punk needs to be out in the world. You just need it. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, when it happened, you know, when it was time to start taking it seriously, I've got like a studio, which is just more in the city. And I just had to get a load of things and just throw them into a van. Mm-hmm. And just say, right, well, I'm going to have to recreate the studio in the shed at home. So, so in the shed, I pulled everything out of the shed and I just put like a studio in the shed, you know, and then I just, whilst I was there, I thought, well, I can now get creative again. I can do something at home. You know, I can manage something. I even did like a couple of videos. I actually sort of knocked up a few things on my own. That just started the whole process. Because over here, I mean, don't know if you had it the same there, but now and again, the lockdown came down. Mm-hmm. There was a window. So
that was us too.
You could go out, you could have a gig if you was quick about it, because, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen. So, we did actually do a couple of festivals and things.
And then they were like, just kidding, go back home.
Yeah.
No more for you guys.
We even did a gig in our back garden.
Nice.
Did you?
Yeah. That would be cool. I would kill to be your neighbor right about then.
Yeah, well, they were loving it. Yeah, they were all hanging out at their windows.
I would be too.
I'm watching
it'd be so
it.
Fun.
It was good.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we are going to get into a round of questions mm-hmm. that will wax a little nostalgic for young Giz. Are you ready for some younger. Fun throwback questions?
Okay, yeah.
Sweet.
So you started playing music very early. I heard it was age 11, which is kind of mind-blowing awesome. To me. Yeah. At age 11, I was picking my nose and jumping on a trampoline. During the awkward age where most kids are worried about public speaking, you are already playing shows and performing for people. Do you have any specific moments that stick out in your memory during those first years that are either especially like epic and magical or just pure humiliation?
All right. Well, the first magical moment was, I think, was that 12? I think I was 12.
Oh.
I'd formed a band and we'd done a couple of gigs in front of the class, you know. But we had a full lineup, you know, drums, bass, rhythm guitar, me on the lead guitar. And then we had a singer. We had a full lineup and we had like a bunch of songs. We had a mixture of current day punk and new wave. So I think we had, I don't know if you're going to know some of them, but we had Silly Thing by the Sex Pistols. We had a song. I don't know if you've heard of a band called Tonight. We had a song called Drummer Man. They were a new wave band. And then we had a bunch of our own songs. And I'd been looking for songwriting inspiration, you know, something different. I didn't just want to write about being a 12-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm. As exciting as that is, I mean.
I would have had like a dozen songs all about masturbation.
That is exciting for a 12-year-old, you're right.
So I was looking for, you know, some material. So I was in the library, the school library, and I saw a book which literally just had on the cover drugs. So I was reading this book and it was talking about every form of drug and going on about this and that. And it was talking about pills, uppers, downers, barbiturates, whatever, black bombers, whatever you want, every form of pill. And some guy had written a book called I Popped a Pill. All right. So there you go. There was the song title right there. So I just thought, okay, I have a song title. So I just started writing out this song, put it to some music, bang, we've got a song, guys. And then we're playing in front of the school.
Oh, shit.
12 years old.
Oh, my God.
And the lead singer, Les Wheeler, bless him. So he said, okay, the next song is one of our own songs, and it's called I Popped a Pill. I didn't write it. He wrote it.
He just blames you.
He just
straight
blames
up.
Right yeah. at you.
Oh, it's about drugs. He wrote it. and I was like, yeah. And then, you know, just counted it in, and that was it. But for a brief moment, everyone was looking at me with daggers, you know, so.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, so it was a little bit embarrassing, but not so bad.
And that's so rock and roll, but so
wholesome. Equally epic. Like that, you just gave us both in one. That's like the best kid story ever. What did the teachers do?
Well, I think it just happened quickly, so I think it passed them by.
The music started before they could object.
Yeah, the music That's started great. And everything was fine. The song went well, and you know, we were on to the next song.
You're like, it's educational. I got it from the library.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to say.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I love that you were so innocent. You're finding content. Like, you weren't actually popping pills as a 12-year-old. But hey, no. You created an anthem for those who were experimenting, and that's beautiful.
Like, you know what'd be cool? This book. I like this a lot. Oh my God.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So you have a bunch of siblings. We do too. We come from quite a few children. Where do you fall in the lineup with your siblings? And are they musical also?
Well, I'm at the end.
Oh, so are you the little guy?
Are you the Shush. Baby?
Yeah.
Are you the little party animal? And are they all very straight-laced?
I'm the youngest, so there's no doubt that, well, you know, most of them partied pretty hard, but, you know, some more than others. I've got a sister, but I've got one sister and all the rest were brothers. You know?
Oh, wow.
Oh, poor girl.
Oh, honey.
I love it. She's probably badass. With a bunch of brothers, I think that's the only way that it can turn out.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But my brother, he got me into the guitar, really. So there was always a guitar hanging around the house.
We can relate to to that. Our dad was a music man, so we had several guitars all over the place all the time.
Yeah, and after a while of, you know, I kind of mastered the hockey stick, and then I tried myself at the tennis racket and got a good tune out of that. But then I thought, well, why don't I actually do it with the guitar, you know? So, yeah, that's it. Then there was a guitar hanging around, and I just picked it up one day and just tried to get a tune out of it. And I think the first tune that I tried to play was, I think it was I'm a Believer. Oh, the Monkees.
Oh my God. That was one of my favorite freaking songs when I was a kid.
It was either that or She Loves You. It was one of the two. It was one of them.
Good songs. Oh, they're going to be stuck in my head all day now too. I love it. Oh, it's so good.
But then he was showing me stuff, you know, because he's picking up I got an electric guitar for my 11th birthday, and he was picking it up and he was like playing Jumping Jack Flash and things. I was just watching and thinking, you know, I want to do that.
You're like, that's my guitar. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
What a cool gift for an 11th birthday. That's awesome.
It's game changing.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine. What do you think you would have done had you not gotten a guitar?
Well, I liked writing. I liked art. So it was going to go in one of those directions.
Something creative for sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? But those were the other two things. I mean, when I was later on in school, I was getting into other things, you know, engineering. Motorcycles, you know, I really loved, you know, getting a motorbike and stripping the engine and putting it back together again. Just, you know, just basic stuff like that. I actually got off on that, you know. No, it was always going to be the guitar.
It was your destiny. I mean, 11. Yeah. I mean, you're destined for greatness.
If you have the ear for it. Not everyone has the ear for it. So
I still smell of motorcycles. People know when I've been around, they can smell it, you know.
You have a guitar and you always smell like two-stroke oil.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you absolutely got it. Yeah.
I used to work at a motorcycle shop. That is one of the best smells.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah. You know, I've got a nice one in the garage. So, yeah, I mean, every now and again, I kind of think, you know, I wouldn't mind one day just doing that again, stripping the engine and just not for anything, but for just something
just
to do.
Just for fun, just for the sport of the mechanics.
You never get the time to do that now, you know. God.
I feel like that's a long labor of love. Right. It's intensive and it's not something you can just start.
Do on a weekend. That's not
real. Yeah, yeah. Once you start it, you have to just complete it. It takes a hot minute.
You see, this is the way my dad was. Crazy bastard. I mean, when I got my first motorbike, something went wrong with it. So he said, okay, bring it into the house. So we brought the motorbike into the kitchen. And then there and then he stripped and he said, just watch me, you know, and he kind of stripped the engine on the kitchen table, just stripped it all down. You know, I'm just kind of watching it, you know, and just trying to take it all in and then, you know, putting it all back together again and then taking it out for a test ride. Oh, it goes again. Bring it in, strip it down again. And then the next time I'm stripping it down. So it was kind of, you know, learning it by watching, really. It's the same with the guitar.
That's amazing. I don't think I could have done that like pre-YouTube days. Mm-mm. I can take something apart as long as I have like a visual of like maybe how it's supposed to be put back together.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what you do when you take apart stuff and you lay it all out like a diagram so that you could put that shit back.
Yeah, but my brain is scrambled eggs. I'd be left with like three like nuts extra and bolts screws. And be like, shit, I feel like I needed these.
Like
somewhere.
IKEA furniture when you have three extra bolts.
Yes. Damn it. And then I just like pray.
I take it that you're not really into cooking then very much.
I'm into
That's
cooking.
Me. Yeah, we're both. Yeah, Shannon's I'm a chef now. Yeah.
Yeah, we both cook. We both bake.
Good.
Taking it all apart and putting it back together and hoping it works. I feel like with cooking, I have enough skill set there that I kind of always can predict the outcome and I have the little fixes in case something goes wrong. The patches. Motorcycle is like, that's extreme talent and a lot more complicated than I think my short-term memory.
Well, you just get, a Haynes, we were only doing it with small motorcycles. We weren't doing it with anything major.
I should just give me a small motorcycle.
It's like dirt bikes. Well, that's like our brother could take apart anything.
Yes.
The thing you're talking about on the kitchen table, there was one time where there was a lawnmower engine totally taken apart on newspaper on the kitchen table. And I think my my mom lost her damn mind about it. He was just taking it apart to like clean it and put it back together. It was working fine. He just did it for fucking sport. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that's just how his brain works though. But it is true. Like he would wing it, put it back together and like fiddle around with it and tune it up. I guess it is like cooking.
But both these engineer brothers could also like play music by ear and like taught themselves slide guitar. Like I think there's a part of the brain that I'm lacking.
It's like songwriting.
I think we're intimidated.
Yeah, like songwriting.
Yeah.
Songwriting, you rewrite. I mean, the way how you cook with songwriting is, you know, you start with an idea, writer, you kind of dabble and then you shelve it. And then you do that with a load of ideas. So you get a bunch of ideas. You just play with them for a day or whatever. And then you shelve them, and then return back. And then when you return back, you're kind of giving it life. And sometimes you point it in a direction and you'll return to it again, you know, and you might have thought about it before that. Do I like the direction I'm pointing it in? You know, and all the time whilst you're doing this, you're kind of like collecting lyrics, you know, and you're thinking, right, the way I want to do this is whatever music is going on should go with the present lyric I'm working on as well, you know. So, you know, you're just kind of demoing. You're just kind of writing, shelving it, and you just keep doing it. You keep popping it back out. Give it another tweak. How does it feel this time, you know?
That makes so much sense. Well, and I'm a recipe writer, and I'm just sitting here like, this is like when you're creating a recipe, when you have to invent something from scratch and you test it and you taste it and you're like, you sit on it, you think about it for a while, you come back to it and you're like, you know what it's really missing is this. And then when you're finally done with it, you're like, this is fucking solid gold. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm excited. You just compared it to food and I'm like, wow, that does make sense to me now.
This is like two talented people talking to each other about things that are obvious and easy to them because like it makes sense. From the outside, I'm over here being like, just do this. Oh no, it just fits together so easy. So now I'm just, Shannon and I are going to start a motorcycle band and our lives are going to change paths.
You're doing the cooking bit. That's great. Yeah. Do the cooking, you know, but just think of how can I make the perfect, I don't know, chili shrimp, you know, just kind of, you know, tweak and tweak until you get it perfect. How much lemon should I put in? What about tomato? How much tomato?
Should I use parsley or coriander?
I know. This is like, we're around lunchtime, so this is going to make us starving. I love it.
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go for lunch?
Oh, I'm going to go to my kitchen.
Yeah,
oh,
she's a chef.
I'm going to cook steak, probably.
What, Shannon has lunch? A meat guy. Yes. She writes recipes for cattle ranch and mushroom people and olive oil people. Like, she has all these people where she just like brings baskets of stuff, and it's awe-inspiring for me. And then as the little sister, I get
to eat all the food.
My freezer is full of meat I didn't pay for. It's gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah. If you lived closer, Shannon would have boxes of meat sent to your house.
Seriously. Wow. When your tour takes you up the West Coast, we will all eat together. That is a guarantee.
Absolutely. So, well, yeah, I'll tell you that's
her cooking
given.
Is amazing. She's like Food Network chick. Oh, she's been on like cooking shows and shit.
Bonnie's my hype man. Seriously. Everybody needs a sister like Bonnie.
We need to reunite. We need to bring back the days of the Lexington Queen.
Oh my God. We'll make neon blue cocktails.
We're going to have champagne. Of course.
Oh my God. That place was
as
crazy.
Well as Japanese beer.
Yes. Oh my God. I do still really, really love Japanese beer. Yeah.
Ugh. All Asian beer has like that extra burst of carbonation that I feel like my American energy drink loving soul is like, ooh, this beer burns a little.
Yeah.
But with a light rice aftertaste. Like I'm super into it. Yeah, man. It's so good.
Oh my God. I'm a bit of a fan of German beers myself.
Ooh. I do like a German beer too.
My tastes go back and forth because I'm like a dark stout. Like I like stuff that tastes
you're
like
seasonally
3 days old coffee. Like if it's like almost like bitter and like you could chew the coffee grounds. Oh like God. That's how I like my beer with like a nice creamy
that's
foamy
the
head.
Portland talking is what's happening right here.
Asian beer. No, yeah. Portland's all like hoppy microbrew bullshit.
Yeah, Asian beer.
I'm a Guinness girl still. Like that's okay. I'll drink a Guinness anytime.
I mean, I love the German kind of it's a wheat beer. It's called Hefeweizen.
Oh yes.
Love a good advice in here too.
Anything you could put an orange in, I'm down with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really need the orange in it.
No one needs an orange in their beer.
Body just likes it.
Or a lemon, slice of lemon. I just like it as it is. But
it's aesthetically pleasing.
But you have to be careful because, you know, it does pack on some pounds. So,
sure
I mean,
does.
You know, you end up kind of, you know, you get the beer belly thing. So.
Yeah, but you're happy. So it's like the price of compromise, you know?
Girls don't get the beer belly like guys do. At least right. like, okay, what's crazy to me when it comes to beer bellies is like guys from the back can look totally normal. Like nothing on their body changes. And then they turn and it's like firm, you know, it's like hard and round.
It's a watch your face.
Yeah. And then girls just get like chubbier hips.
Just a little doughy. That's
you know,
it.
Just, like we don't get firm anywhere. Oh, like that would be true. Dope. If I got a beer belly, that'd be awesome.
No.
Like faux pregnant.
No.
Why not?
Oh my God. I vote no on that.
Just, you don't have a beer belly.
Oh my God.
Well, me, I'm trying to get rid of it. I've got I've got a bit of one because I've, you know, it's been Christmas and you know, been enjoying things maybe a bit too much, but also I've been hanging out with Steve Hewitt, Placebo.
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
Yeah, such a friend, such a great mate,
that
such a
so
buddy.
Cool.
So, you know, I've been going down to him, he's been coming up to me. And we've been going out, you know, and like we always say the same when we go out, oh, we're just going to have a couple.
Oh, right.
And then, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever in the morning. Yeah. And, you know, massive beer belly.
Yeah.
And then when the worst thing, of course, when you go home after that, you want to start eating and it's like, oh, doing all the wrong thing.
Those days are not that far behind. Me, to be honest. I mean, it has been a while since I drank till 4 in the morning and then ended up walking home with my shoes in my hand. Like, those nights are pretty
both
well
shoes.
Yeah, well, I mean, why not? My feet were tired. I probably shouldn't have wore those shoes in the first place. Kind
of. But you managed to keep both of them? You didn't lose one?
Oh, no. Shoes are expensive.
It's a rite of passage, I think. Yeah. I think every female who's, like, had a single night even of tying one on walks home holding their shoes.
Yeah. I have walked through many a drive-through. When I lived downtown, I walked through a few drive-thrus and like, ma'am, we can't serve you at the window. I'm like, I would like you to, because I'm very hungry right now. I'd like to eat a cheeseburger.
I'm not leaving.
Or a taco on my walk home. I'd like a walking taco, please. That would be great. Yeah. So it's been a while since that happened, but I have fond memories of all of my drinking experiences that I can recall.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. You just drink till you know you're going to lose your memory if you drink any more than that. So.
I don't need all them brain cells.
No.
They're superfluous.
Right. It's just extra.
Lose a bit of weight.
We've got so many. I mean, speaking of brain cells, would you like to use yours to play a game with us?
I can try.
All right.
Make myself look ridiculous.
No, it's called This or That. It's the easiest game ever invented. We're going to give you a choice between two things, and you just say the first thing that is your choice.
Okay.
It goes very quickly. Yes. It's short and sweet.
Absolutely. Would you prefer to play locally or go on tour?
Both have their thing. I can only choose one, can't I?
You can only choose one.
Go on tour.
All right.
I know right now he's like, right now. I've been in the shed. Get me out of here. Sweet or savory?
Ooh.
Savory.
All right. Singing or dancing?
Singing.
Pre-game or after party?
Oh.
Ooh. After party.
Cake or pie?
Oh, pie.
We're pie. We're team pie.
We're pie girls. Orange hair or blue hair?
Mm.
Well, does it have to be orange?
It's like that fiery orange red.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'd have to choose... blue, really?
I'm partial to blue.
I like how blue fades out.
Yeah.
I prefer blonde rather than, you know.
You prefer, that's not a choice, Kiz. You have to pick one or that you prefer blonde. But the 90s and 2000s, you had like an array of hair colors.
Yes.
And as a girl who has had almost every hair color under the sun.
Yeah, you really have.
They fade out really fun.
Oh,
mixing colors is fun. You end up like staying at random people's houses, I'm sure, on tour and just like coloring your hair in their sink. People always just want to fuck with your hair.
Find a hotel for dyeing in the bathroom blue.
Oh. Bonnie has stories of hotel towels that she's turned red.
I ruin towels, but I put them over pillowcases because I refuse to like be in trouble for like a nice feather pillow. Right. I would rather them just bleach all the towels that are like.
She brings her own pillow when she stays at my house.
Bring your own pillowcase. That is a
yes. Colored hair problems, man. They're real.
Oh, I've had blue hair. It's a fun one.
Yeah, but you're right. It does. It leaves you very quickly.
It fades out crazy, and then it turns like green. And then if you have a blonde base, it turns like greener and greener and greener until it hits this weird color of like you can't love it
because you have to dye it again.
You're like it's nowhere. It's like in between yellow and green, and it's horrific.
I like that one that you said when you said pre gig or after show party. That pre-game. One pre-game. Pre-game.
So, yeah, pre-game is like
pre-funk.
Like girls pre-game, hella. Like before we like go out to a club
drink a
bunch or go.
Yeah, you're going to drink a couple of bottles or something.
It could be anything. Like going to a baby shower. It's like preparing yourself to be like, okay, I'm not fun right now.
Go be social.
let me get fun before I go have fun.
There's definitely something about, you know, that's very good for that. If you have a really incredible experience before you go out, it heightens the going out.
Yeah. Oh, I like you bring that energy with you.
Yeah. So like, for instance, I mean, when I played Phoenix Festival, I did a bungee jump and then on stage. So I did the bungee jump and then literally just went on stage. So that was a buzz.
It's like adrenaline style.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a high.
That's cool.
That's a Bonnie idea. I would die, but Bonnie would she's a skydive person, so she's in that bracket of adrenaline.
There's something to be said for drinking a couple of shots before hitting the stage. I know it's not, you shouldn't really do it because, you know, you might be playing bum notes, but, you know, it could kind of heighten the experience, you know. So.
I think creatives who people think they're extroverts, but really they're introverts who are creatively an outward person. If you like to be at home and you're a homebody, but you have a stage presence, you're probably still an introvert.
And you're probably taking shots before you go out.
I think I have to take several shots or drinks before I go out and go do stuff with friends because I have to like amp myself up to go out. Yeah.
Loosen up.
I have to get in party mode. Otherwise, I want to stay in pajama mode. That's really,
okay.
I have two switches. That's it.
No, I do. I really get that. As I said, it heightens the going out bit.
Yeah.
Or if I was doing a gig, one of the bands that I used to be in, we always used to have a shot before we got on the stage. You know, that was a thing. And there was this game that we had where you had like a disc with four finger holes. And you'd put your finger in it and you'd press a button on the top and then you'd see this light circle around lighting up each finger hole until it would slow down and then eventually you'd get a great electric shock running through your finger.
Oh my God.
One person is going to get it. You know what I mean? So it's like
Russian roulette, but with electricity.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a drinking game?
We did that before going on stage. We did that. We had a shot and then we played this game, but it just got to the point where everyone was turning to each other and saying, fuck that. I'm not doing that anymore.
I just Googled it.
Bonnie just Googled it.
Amazing Roulette is on Amazon.com for $17. There's also Lightning Reaction.
Oh, no.
The finger hole one is the one I'm looking at where it looks like it could scan your fingerprint, but it doesn't. And the kid's hair is like sticking up. It looks like your hair gets. It's like poofed out all crazy and he has one finger in and he's just getting shocked. This is cool. That's a funny game.
Does it hurt or is it just a buzz?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Well, you know, it gives you, it's a quick pain.
Oof.
So it's over within seconds, but it's, you know, it's nevertheless.
Oh, I kind of love the shock. Like I'm the battery to the tongue girl. Like I'm like, ooh.
If you like it that much, I suggest that you put a finger and a thumb of each hand in one.
Double so
you're,
up.
You're doing it on your own.
The circus.
You are you're the winner and the loser at the same time.
Oh my God. Well, I know what Bonnie's getting for her birthday now. So that was fun. That really helps. That helps me out.
That and the new album. Because I'm a July baby.
Yep. Your album comes out in July and I'm gonna get that for her and then also this game, and she'll be like, oh my God, I forgot all about that. I'll be like,
My life
never
is
forget.
Complete.
Perfect. And then you have to play that with yourself before you listen to the album.
I'm just sitting in there, all my fingers curled around this thing, just sitting on the floor alone.
So my suggestion is, of course, that you could warm yourself up to that occasion by listening to the first Jane Stark albums.
Yes.
So you could get the Great Adventure Cigar. get that one first.
That's
put
a
that
great
on.
Great name.
Party around the kitchen. I mean, you know, dance around the kitchen. Wear your favorite boots. Make a real noise.
It's like when a new season of a show comes out, like season three, and you're like, shit, I'm going to go back. And I loved season one.
Yeah.
Season two, but I'm going to go through and like really binge hard and then wait for season three of something. That's how I
like
I roll.
That's your lead up now.
Yeah.
That's the challenge for you and our listeners. I love this very much. You know, I think we are to my favorite part of the show right now.
We are. And I feel like this can handle it.
I think you can take this. Mm-hmm. So this is the section of our show where we shower you with compliments. We tell you how great we think you are.
And you just get to sit back and take it all in.
So I want to go first because I was thinking about this as I was drafting up questions and ideas. Mm. I was thinking back to Japan days. What I liked about you then and what I like about you now is the exact same thing. You're kind of weird. You're fun. You're relatable. And you're just a good time to be around. You have a ton of talent. You're a very humble person. I really, really appreciate and admire that you were not one of those asshole band guys. You were charming without being schmarmy. You were personable and lovely and just a good time to be around. You definitely are part of that very happy core memory from that trip for me. And I'm just so overjoyed that you had time and you wanted to sit down and talk to us because I feel like it's come full circle. We're older and wiser and it's just nice that, you know, some things don't change. You're still a delightful person and I'm so happy to talk to you again.
Aww.
Did you hear that, ladies?
You heard it here.
This is my CV speaking to you.
You can take that soundbite and really share it with anyone you want. That is fine.
It's a personal ad.
I may have to quote that word for word.
Do it. Please
do. And basically, yeah. So if I go on a dating site, I can have all there. That.
Are Absolutely. You single and ready to mingle post-quarantine? I consider myself a Cupid.
No, I'm married.
You are married? Oh, shit.
No, I'm married, but I'm
way to
know,
bury the lead there, bud.
But it's fine to
just in case
receive these
it's
compliments.
Nice to know what you should be doing is just going and playing that for your wife.
Yeah.
And then just watch her and she should be nodding along. Right? She should be like, yes.
She likes me. She likes
me. She likes
me. What about you?
She loves that you had a shed to go to.
Right.
she loves
you can
it.
Go back to your shed.
Oh, I wish I had a shed. I wish someone would just send me to the shed.
It's a nice shed. It's got very nice curtains.
Very nice curtains. My shed's full of chicken, so it's not really the same thing. So.
No, that's not. That's a chicken cage.
I have a shed full of chickens.
Okay, my turn to compliment you guys. I've never gotten to meet you.
I'm missing out.
However,
there's still time.
There is still time. And now I'm like, we should just go in August. We should just charter a plane. I almost said jet, like we're actually cool.
Yeah, right.
Charter our jet.
Do it.
Get on a plane and go hang. I think you are just majestic. There's certain people in this world that will always have that special something. And the fact that you harness this at such a young age and it's driven you for years and years to just create things and be in front of everyone, giving out what you're producing. You're freaking fun, kid.
Just a fun dude.
You're slightly sarcastic. You're
slightly.
Silly. Oh, he gave sarcastic answers.
No, I know.
Like, so you're a really great interview. I actually went down a rabbit hole and watched you on a bunch of different interviews. And I learned a lot about guitar. You're passionate about vinyl. I learned so much stuff about you. And now I just feel like a really creepy fangirl in the corner getting to talk to you. You're really fun and you're super humble and just something about your presence is really relaxing.
I'm telling you.
In a way that's like, it still has energy in it, but it's like an energy you just want to chill out in.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that about you.
Did you hear that, Mrs. Butt?
Mrs. Butt.
Did you hear that? These two American girls, they're in Portland. That's right. I'm going to be looking on Kayak. I'm going to be finding out when the next flight is. I'm going to get myself a deal. I'm going over to Portland so you can stick your fish and chips. Yeah, you can You can put them fingers down and that knife. Put that down. Do yourself a mischief with that thing.
You know what? If you hadn't gone to music, I swear to God, you could be a comedian.
That is so true.
You're funny. God.
You are good company.
Yeah.
We've got to hang out again.
Yeah, well, you know, I do go to San Francisco quite a lot. Nice. I've got a really good bunch of friends there. Up in San Francisco and Oakland. So you're only about, I don't know, 500 miles from there, aren't you, I guess? And how far away are you?
645.3 miles.
We're a quick flight from there.
A quick flight, is it? Well, the next time I come over, then we'll have to sort something out.
I would really love that. I'd love to recreate our photo again with our current hair color.
Send me that photo. I want to see the photo.
We're always down to fly and meet up, and we're 100% completely down to meet up with you. However, I think we should do pub on the street interview. You could be our third host.
Please.
Oh, and we just interview random people about like humiliating childhood stuff.
Yes, please.
Put them on the spot. Ask them quick questions and then like move on and just do it like manic.
That is ideal.
Pre-game, after party, in effect, around it.
Yes. We'll all be sitting around drinking our beers of choice outside of a pub with our microphones, and we'll flag people down to come over and talk to us, and then we'll tell them to go away. This is the best idea for an episode I've ever heard about. And I feel like you would really love that too. It'd be fun.
We you know me so well.
Well, I think the people would like to know where else they could find you.
Yeah.
Other than this delightful episode on social media or website things, where can folks find you and chat with you and find what you're currently working on?
I think that I'm on Instagram and I'm on Facebook. Go and check out Jaina Stark, of course.
Mm-hmm. It's very
There's a Jaina Stark Facebook page, Jaina Stark Band. There's a Jaina Stark Instagram. Mm-hmm. Go and check that out. There's a Gizbut fan page.
Nice.
On Facebook. You can go there. Now, of course, I have my own personal, you know, Facebook page, but you know, you're going to have to have some qualifications.
Right. You don't just
you
add
have to
anybody.
Be in crowd.
Probably. I mean, I would say right now, the best thing to do, because I'm going to spend a bit of time, I'm going to give Gizbut a little bit of a break and just go on to Jaina Stark. So I'll probably be going on Jaina Stark, the Facebook page and Instagram, like every day for the foreseeable. It's almost like Sergeant Pepper. It's like the alter ego. You know?
I love that.
Because, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you think, oh, I don't want to post anything about myself, you know, because what am I going to post? I'm going to post my breakfast, or I'm going to post the cat, you know, or my guitar. No one wants to see my guitar again, you know. So no, hold on. I'm going to be my alter ego, and I'm going to go Jaina
Stark.
That's
what a business page is for.
I'm going to be Jaina Stark.
The business page is your face. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so go over there, because you know anyone can join that, of course. And
perfect.
Come and say hello. Also, I have got a Patreon thing.
Nice. Yes, please. Let's plug your Patreon.
Now that's Patreon Gizbut. Now the thing is about that, if anyone out there, if you want to hear anything of any of the bands I've ever been in, that's where I'm putting the whole lot. Okay.
Oh.
Because
that's
full
the
discography.
Trove. Yeah. Okay.
Because I've got an archive collection. It's massive. It could fill up another house.
Nice.
I've been thinking, what am I gonna do with this lot? So I'm uploading it all bit by bit. Everything's going up there. So there's, of course, there's the releases, but there's the outtakes, there's the demos, there's the practices, there's the live gigs, there's the footage, there's just the fun bits.
Well, you're getting a follow from us, obviously, because I need in on all
going up there. So basically,
back catalog.
A few dollars. What you have to try and imagine is that once a month you buy me a drink. So
I like that.
$6, $6. So once a month, you buy me a drink, and then in return, I give you all this love.
Aww.
Loads of love.
You're so cool.
Well, we're in. You've got us. That's going to happen. So fabulous.
As I said, every band I've ever been in, I've got things from, obviously, from the Prodigy days.
You'll
have to stick around for quite a long time to get all of that stuff. I'm going to be writing a book I've started it, but I've had to put it on hold because I've got these things going on right now. So I've got the Jonas Stark album. I've got me and Steve Hewitt going out doing the acoustic tour.
So
that's
good.
A 21-day tour. Fantastic.
That's cool. Fantastic. And you're writing a book. Is it like hot goss? Is it your story? What is this book going to be about?
I'm very excited. Those things. I might have to write more than one, but I'm just going to get started. I've had to put it down. As I say, I'll pick it up again and get on it again. You know, you'll probably be in it.
Oh,
shut your mouth.
I'd freaking die. Are you kidding me?
When I went to the Lexington Queen and I met these ladies.
These crazy ladies. Oh, my gosh.
And we was trying to steal a bottle of champagne from the seahorses.
You do have a good memory. Mm-hmm.
That guy, the guitarist, grabbed it right out of my hand again. I nearly went flying. Yeah, well, I remember all that.
Can I ask you a final question? It's my favorite question.
Go for it.
Do you have any sage advice that you would give young Giz about anything?
Well, it's a deep one, right? Ends it on a heavy note.
If I was going to speak to young Giz, wow. Okay, that is a thing, isn't it? Would you want to change that path? Because it's, you know... You're messing with things when you do that. I would probably say to young Giz that you're doing everything okay, but maybe you should just get more singing lessons.
Oh, my God.
When you create music, do you picture the music and the lyrics and then, like, who would sing it?
One of the issues is with singers is that you don't always come by the singer that, that you're looking for. And so you end up doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Whether you want to or not.
That's happened to me so much. So I've tried. I've had, obviously, singing lessons. And when you get all the home recording kit and you get a good microphone, you can spend a bit more time and you can concentrate on getting your voice to do what you want it to do. But when you're younger and, you know, you kind of like, you don't bother doing that. Just let someone else do it. I just concentrate on the guitar. But really, I really wish that I'd put more work into it then and become the singer that I was looking for then, really, because... Yeah, I think pound for pound, you just get more reward when you can deliver the voice that you're looking for, you know, rather than relying on anyone else. Rather than relying on anyone else, you just have it. But it's tougher the later you leave it. It's tougher.
I agree with that.
You're trying to make this voice come out. You've got the knowledge of how to do it. It's just that it's making these muscles work, you know, getting them to do stuff. I mean, as a guitarist, I find it, you know, easier. But as a singer, it's harder work, you know.
Well, I'm glad you took the path you did. If you had become like an amazing vocalist also, maybe you would have been like that whole thing. You would have been on another level.
You would have caught the disease of
lead singer syndrome.
You know, it's real.
One of my other favorite singers is John Reese. He's the guy out of Rocket from the Crypt. And he's got a shitload of other bands as well. And I love that guy. He's really prolific and he's got a great voice, you know. It just sounds like razor blades. It's just a great voice. It's the coolest. It's got this punk rock and roll San Diego thing. There's a bit of garage rock in there. There's a bit of Dead Kennedys in there. There's a bit of Beatles. It's such a great mixture. But he stopped singing and he rejoined his old band, the Hot Snakes, which were kind of like a post-hardcore band, which is a great band, but he did it. You know, he stopped singing. He just said, no, fuck it, I'm going to concentrate on the guitar. You know, I'm going to do this. And I can get that. I understand, you know, I understand that mindset. But, you know, I've gone all out for this album and I've really, really sang for this fucking album. So I'm going to have a few years of singing yet. You know, there's still a few singing years left in me.
I agree. I definitely
agree.
Have
a wonderful
voice. But like
Rod
Stewart, after a time, it's going to get a bit creaky. So I'm going to do it now whilst I've got it.
Well, I love your voice. And like I said, it's just romantic just hearing you speak. You have a wonderful voice. You have a wonderful singing voice, and you are just amazingly talented in everything you
Bless
go after.
You.
And I am so excited that you revived a band that you're passionate about and
yeah,
that you are still creating music in this pandemic.
Wrap your arms around yourself. Give yourself a massive hug. Think it's me. Imagine it's me.
Oh, you give a good hug.
We both did just hug ourselves, by the way. Well, you do the same thing, too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kids. Oh, do great. Not be a stranger.
No.
We are your new BFFs from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And we just think you are the bee's knees, man.
Oh, thank you. I need their company.
Oh. Well, you've got
We'll tell you all the time. We'll tell you all the time.
Whenever you need to pick me up, just be like, can you give me a call?
They're making me feel good, these two are.
Good. My face hurts from smiling, so.
That's right, Mrs. Butt. That's right. You can... You can waggle that.
We're just here to celebrate you.
Rolling
Do you need thing. Us to send her a note or something? We're going to put a pin in this one, and maybe there'll be another one down the
Live
road.
On the
I
streets.
Would love to have a round two of this. And
yes,
give the people what they want. I'm into it.
Thank you for making my day. My heart
Seriously.
Is full.
Me too.
And I feel like this is years of fun Tokyo stories that I've gotten to hear about as the dumb little sister that was not a model and left at home. And now it's come full circle where I get to be included with the wonderful Gizbutt, Mr.
So
Butt.
Nice. It's so nice to walk back down memory lane. Lexington Queen was a damn good time.
Mm. Well, right. We love you. You enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes. Night. It's night.
Oh, we'll you do. Enjoy your evening.
Thanks for your evening there.
All right. Yeah. We'll talk more soon.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye for now.
That was incredible.
I love him.
Love. Love. He's exactly how I remembered his joy. It was great. If you guys enjoyed that as much as we did, which is literally impossible, but like hopefully it's pretty close, you could talk to us about how much you enjoyed it on the social medias. Bonnie, where can they find us?
We are on Instagram under No, You Are That.
Don't forget the no.
It's a rebuttal. Mm-hmm. We're also on Facebook. We have a group and a page. If you want information, just go ahead and like that page and you'll get heads up about who is new on the pod. If you want to join the group, games, activities, and a community full of nostalgia freaks who want to interact with you.
Yes. Also, we are on Patreon. And we have some weird content coming. So, like, teaser alert, in the next few months, things are going to get a little weird.
Things are getting weird. We can't disclose.
No, it's top secret, but by God, you're going to want to jump in before it starts. So, if they wanted to support us for as little as, like, one doll hair, where do they find us?
Patreon.com/ You Are That.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have sweet merch. Bonnie, what did you make us?
Ooh, we have some nostalgia-based teen crushes in the form of cozies.
Mm-hmm.
Giant 22-inch square pillows to throw upon all of your surfaces. And the softest, most buttery blankets covered in dimples, baby blues.
Curly hair.
Gorgeousness.
Yeah.
Some fluffy bangs. Go check out our nostalgia merch there. And we will be adding more as time goes on. And if you don't see your crush there,
don't
hit
worry.
Us up on the socials. Let us know who you want to wrap around your bod.
Who do you want to snuggle with and feel like your teen dreams have come to life?
I want to know.
I do too.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all of our listeners all over the world. You guys are fantastic. And thank you for tuning in again every other week. We love it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Psychic.
Yeah, sure. I like that.
Yeah. You're like the evil twins.
I like that better.
Yeah. We've gotten compared to the sisters in The Shining.
Yeah.
But people are down.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. There's a hotel just down the road from me that is that home.
Is it?
Yeah, literally. It's just got like a very long corridor, you know, it just stretches right out. Probably a mile long.
Oh, you said
terrible
down the
carpet.
Road.
I love
now
that.
I'm just picturing you in like a castle built into a rock
down
wall.
Down the road. Down the lanes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.